good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back and we have been discussing for the last couple of weeks Terrorize at work or on progress, in progress teaching on wishing forward. And it's from seven times in the predominantly in the book of Luke where Jesus prayed, and then there's different words, obviously obedience and times where he prayed before, and the word
prosoukomai,
thank you, in the Greek means wish,
to wish for it.
And our world has kind of taken wish and made it fairy tale like maybe ish and the word has such a different meaning, and Tara is going to redeem it.
Well,
by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not going to redeem it. God will, because everything good comes from God, and all truth is God's, and His word is His word.
Yes.
And the meanings are so rich. I love words. It's so funny. I met somebody yesterday for the first time, Suzette Davis. Hi, Suzette. I don't know if you listen, but I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to have to listen now so that you can hear this. But anyhow, I was having lunch with her, and she's the new women's care minister at Westside Church. And we were talking, and she said, "You really like words."
She just met me at lunch.
I'm like, yeah, I guess I do.
I think anyone that's a writer. Well, yeah. You're not just a writer, you're a speaker,
know,
and
a
you're
communicator,
an author. And,
yeah, whatever. You know, just I like words. Words feed my soul. I know they don't do that for everybody, but they really do with me.
Dance and music feeds my soul completely different.
Speaking, and whether it's spoken or whether it's written. But you know what the words of music does, and so does dance with me too. But something about a words fitly spoken, it pierces the heart.
Mm.
You know, a very good example, I was substitute teaching at Omaha Christian Academy, and it was just after this song came out, and I know you'll probably be able to peg it, Sabrina. And I noticed that a teacher on her bulletin board had written a whole bunch of phrases, and it didn't even occur to me, I think, until like 3 weeks after I read her bulletin board, that's a song. And but the words, just seeing them as the words, there was no music to it, I about started crying just reading the bulletin board. And she had taken phrases from the song, "I Am Judas's Kiss, But You Loved Me Anyway." Mm-hmm. That song, what is it?
You love me anyway.
That song. And just the power of how that artist wrote out those different phrases and thinking through that truth that even though I am Judas's kiss, you love me anyway. Mm. And the reason why was because Jesus was wishing forward in a desire, a will, a want, a passion to do the will of the Father to reach lost souls.
I love that. The word of God speaks.
It does. It is so powerful and effective. I have another situation in my life, which is really kind of interesting. And it's a dialogue, and it's a dialogue that grieves my soul. But and it has to do with faith and an unbeliever, and the person. It's like, God, I don't know how to communicate anymore. I don't even have words that will work. And I couldn't sleep one night, and I was up in the middle of the night, and I don't know, the dog was barking because of all the thunderstorms we've been having, and I was laying there. And I got up and I was just praying, and God put on my heart, the only words you're to give is the word of God. And so I told this person, I said, from now on, you're getting all scripture from me. And the person wrote back, you can't. You can't use scripture to prove scripture. And I wrote back and I go, truth is truth, and only someone who doesn't want to hear the truth will deny it being spoken. And you know, and but it's back and forth. It's back and forth because the person's heart's not ready and stuff. But it was so funny because the person wants to have the dialogue with me, but doesn't want me to use scripture. And it's like, I cannot speak out of who I am. I cannot not speak out of who I am. The word of God is authority. Mm. And, you know, and so I wrote back, I'm like, you're willing to use mythology. You're willing to use all kinds of things to prove your point, yet I can't use the very one thing that is the source of all authority And so it was kind of interesting, the dialogue. And my heart just wrenched. I'm like, God, you know, how do we reach the person who doesn't want you? And I am coming across more and more people who don't want God. And it shocks me. And Jesus, when he was wishing forward, when he was moving forward, the passion inside him was for that person, the one who doesn't want him. Mm. Because he wants them to have eternity. He wants them to be with the Father. He wants them to know the glory of the Lord. He wants them to know. He came and did what he did on the cross for them to believe, that they would know that the Father loved them. And I was so grief-stricken. I'm like, God, you know, I don't even know that we as Christians anymore even have a hunger for the lost like we should. I don't think that we really wish forward for lost souls like we should. And I mean, it was a grieving process for me of conviction of God revealing to me, I don't hunger as I should for the lost souls. And so really evaluating my hunger for the lost, you know, being desperate for them to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's what God longs for us to have. And because at one point in my dialogue, I was like, I just want to give up and walk away. I'm done. This is lost cause. And God never, ever looks at a person and says, this is a lost cause. I mean, I'm so ashamed to even say that on the radio, but it's truth.
There should never be an unsavable list.
Completely. That's it. But I can do that. And I know that if I can do that, I know others do that.
Yeah.
Because I do know I have a hunger for lost souls. I do. Mm-hmm. But I know I can grow. Yeah. And I don't think that any of us have gotten there yet. You know what I mean? I mm-hmm. think we can all grow in that area. And so to help us get a good grasp on that, I'm going to have Sabrina read for us what Jesus prayed in John 17. We're going to just, for the moment, do just verses 1 through 5 and what Jesus prayed for himself.
I love this.
Okay. And so, Sabrina, would you read his prayer and then we'll look at it.
Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so he may give eternal life to all you who have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed.
Okay.
Wow.
One, right there, glorify, mm-hmm. glorify, glory. I mean, at least 7 times glory is made known. And that word glory actually comes from the Greek word doxa, which means to have an opinion, hence praise or honor, and to give glory to the Father. And so he wants praise to be given to the Father. I mean, that's key. And he says, glorify the Son. Glorify me, your Son, the way you did before the world began. Let me bring you that glory. Okay? And let's look at, I want us to break it down. Let's ask ourselves this question. How did Jesus pray for himself? What were the things that were important to Jesus for his life? What did he point out was relevant?
He kept saying that you gave him authority over all flesh so all that they people. May have all eternal life. Like his heart is just like what we talked about earlier for the lost souls so they can be with him forever in eternity. Because we don't even understand what eternity means.
Right.
But they did before the world existed. They knew.
Yeah.
And we can't, our little brains are like, what? You know?
Yeah. For eternal life.
But for eternal life. And eternal life is like 3 times.
It is. And they may know who?
The one true God.
The one true God. That's huge.
It is. The only God.
That's exactly right. And what did the one true God do? He sent somebody.
He sent Jesus Christ.
Okay. He sent Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Jesus was on mission, and that's why he was wishing forward towards this moment right here. The authority that was given to him by the Father, creator of heaven and earth, for eternal life. For eternal life, for life that does not end. That's why he is wishing forward. And what did Jesus say that he did in behalf of the Father? In verse 4.
I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Completing the work.
It was completion.
Yeah. By getting on the cross and dying for our sins. That's was completed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you
and,
see,
and then he's like, now just give me your presence. Like, glorify me with your presence.
In your presence, Lord. That's all I want.
That's all I want. Presence.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing better.
There isn't. Okay. What happens here, and I want us to have a full grasp of, is that he's looking toward heaven. Okay. When he is praying, he is looking towards heaven. He's, Father, you know, I'm looking towards you. Okay, that's where the Father's at. He acknowledges that his time has come. The very purpose for Jesus moving forward on this earth, his wishing forward on this earth, it's come. And he explains that he has a purpose. And in his purpose, there were three things that really stood out. And that was in revealing eternal life, that people may know the Father, may recognize that he is the one true God, and know that his Son is the one that he sent, that Jesus was sent by God. And so as we are thinking about our moving forward in our relationships with those around us, those are what we have to move forward towards. If that was important to Jesus in his prayer for himself, we need to think about that in our prayers for ourselves and for others. And I love the fact that he affirms that he had completed the work he had been given. That he did it when he walked in the preaching, the teaching, the healing. He did everything that God asked of him. There was nothing left undone or unsaid. And I think that's huge, especially when you think of how many people might die wondering about regret or incomplete relationships or relationships that didn't have proper closure, and how difficult that is for those that are left behind. And Jesus says, I have completed what you have sent me to do.
No regret.
No regret. Yeah. Yeah. No regret.
Yeah. My heart's cry for so many people is that they just have eternal perspectives in all they do. I think when you know God, and that doesn't mean you have to know every scripture, where it's at, where it's located. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying when you really know him, when you've encountered him, there's, I think it just puts everything in perspective. Now, that doesn't mean every day is going to be perfect and there's no such thing, but it just holds you to a higher standard. And it makes you think like, is this really important?
Yeah.
Getting upset over this, is it really important? No.
Oh, that happened to me the other day, Sabrina.
There are people dying. There are people that don't know God because we're all so consumed in our own world and our lives. We won't even take a minute to serve somebody else.
Completely. Yeah. I, you know, a situation with a family, and I had, somebody was mad at me, and I wanted to be mad back. I really wanted to be mad back. And it came down to me asking myself that exact question. In the scheme of things, really, does this really matter eternally? And the answer was not really. But, you know, I wanted to say, but God, I want to be angry.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
I want to be angry. Forgiveness is mine.
Bear, right. Bear with one another.
Yeah. And so we have no right to hold on. You know, as we look at this prayer, what does this imply about the desire of Jesus's heart?
Just to glorify.
Yeah.
Glorify and to do the will of God. And to ultimately be in his presence.
Yeah.
Like nothing else matters.
Does he want to do it alone? Or does he want people with him?
He wants everyone with him.
That's exactly right.
Everyone.
Even the person we don't want with him.
Even that sandpaper person we can think of right now. He wants them. Walking streets of gold.
I know. And it's like, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I to ask or question So it's a process of that moving forward that he mm-hmm. has in this relationship with the Father. And then Jesus doesn't leave his prayer just about himself, you know. And I think, you know, how often in my prayers do I pray just for myself? Because what I want us to see is that this prayer, not only does he pray for the eternal of people believing into him to have eternity, he prays into those that are present with him, but he also prays into those that will come. And I have a very good friend in Houston that is an artist, and my sweet friend Bernadette, when she was in our Sunday school class in Houston, every week she only wrote one prayer request, and she had many things that she could have written down, but her one prayer request consistently week after week after week was pray for the saints. Pray for the saints, pray for all the saints. She may word it differently each week, but it was always praying for the saints, pray for those who believe in Christ, that we walk the walk, that we talk the talk, that we live the people, the lives that we are called to live. That was consistently, she worded it differently each week, but every week. And I mean, for years, that was, and I remember thinking at the time what a testimony it was to me, because at that time, sometimes my prayers would be, you know, pray for us as we're getting this, or, you know, or we're looking at a new car. How shallow I might actually have made a prayer request. And here I had this beacon of light every week. Pray for the saints. Pray for the laborers. Pray for those who are out in the fields and the places where it's not safe and it's dangerous. She really had an eternal mindset. And we're going to find as we begin to break down in the last week, the last two parts of Jesus's prayer, he had an eternal mindset, even praying into people. Because what we're going to see is then he goes in and he prays for the disciples that he's currently walking with and what they need to have in order to make it known the will of the Father, what the kingdom is, how to bring him glory so that they can bring other believers along. And then he adds into and begins to pray for those that will come. And that is the prayer that he's praying over us today, the saints today. Because a saint is anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a person who does the miraculous. It's a belief. And that's what makes them a saint, because he is in the business of sanctifying and becoming holy. And so a saint is a person who is in the process of becoming holy. I'm so glad that you have been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We look forward to hearing from you. You can contact us at tararye.com. God bless.